You're listening to Catholic Forum. I'm Bob Krebs. As one of the world's most popular authors, Anne Rice has entertained and mesmerized millions of readers with her stories of vampires and witches. However, the central character in her new novel is none other than Jesus Christ as a 7-year-old boy. Anne Rice, the author of the best-selling book, Christ the Lord Out of Egypt, is on the telephone with us this morning. Good morning, Anne. Welcome to Catholic Forum.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
Anne, tell us about your new novel, Christ the Lord Out of Egypt.
Well, this novel comes out of my personal belief and my personal dedication to Christ, to write about him and him only. And it's proved to be the most exciting adventure of my life. You know, I've written something like 26, 27 novels over 30 years. And I think at this point, I feel like everything I did before was a rehearsal for this. Mm. Everything was preparation, historical research, creating characters, developing the first-person voice in fiction. All of it prepared me to do this, and this is more important to me than anything I've ever done.
After so many years of tremendous success writing about occult characters, you know, why a novel about Jesus?
Personal belief, conversion.
Yeah.
The fact that faith came back to me, and faith came back to me in a big way.
Yeah.
I went back to the Catholic Church in 1998, and 3 years later, when I was sitting in church, praying, talking to the Lord, I made the commitment to him that I would put everything aside except his life. I would only write what reflected my worldview, reflected my conversion,
mm-hmm.
my dedication to him. And really, for a person like me, I mean, this is an absolutely wonderful turn. I walked out of that church a changed person. I didn't know even the degree to which I walked out a changed person. It was only as the weeks passed that I began to get an inkling that the depression of 10 years had completely lifted,
yeah.
virtually. I didn't see this, so I went back in my diary and I began to look at my notes, and I saw the abrupt cessation of a kind of sadness that had hung over me for a very, very long time.
So it was one particular event that brought you back to the church?
Well, there wasn't any event so much as there was an intellectual conversion.
Mm-hmm.
I was back in New Orleans, and I was living around my Catholic family, and they were a wonderful example. You know, knowing so many cousins who take their religion so seriously and who really practice their faith, that was quite an inspiration. But I'd been around them for years.
Mm-hmm.
They welcomed me back with open arms. They were terrific. They never questioned me about my books. They were as gentle and kind as they could be. But what really led me back was reading and research, and also the fact that I was looking, that
mm-hmm.
I had never stopped looking. And I was on a personal quest for meaning, a personal quest for redemption, I think,
mm-hmm.
for transcendence. I was reading history a lot, and I focused in on the first century and biblical times before that. And I began to be absolutely confounded by the story of the Jews in history. I'd read tons of archaeology. I mean, my idea of fun is to curl up with a book on ancient Sumer, you know, and read everything that they've just dug up
mm-hmm.
in the ruins. And I thought to myself, how in the world did these people survive? How did this happen? Well, what is going on here? And then what about Christianity? How did it take over the Roman Empire? How did that happen? And coming from the historical perspective, I didn't have any rational answers to this.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought I was seeing the purpose of God in history, and I still believe that I did indeed see that, and that it's manifest, it's there. I was swept away, kind of. I was kind of dumbfounded as I put the pieces together, as I read more and more and more. And gradually, a lot of the skeptical, cynical information that I'd acquired over the years, the kind of thing that's just talked about in popular books, all that began to fall apart. I began to see there really wasn't much basis for the dim view of the Gospels as historical documents, that there really wasn't much basis for that at all. That on the contrary, the letters of Paul and the Gospels are some of the most compelling documents we have from those times.
Mm-hmm.
And I gradually realized I wanted to return to my church. Belief came back to me, and also a tremendous awareness of a love of God and a trust in God and a trust that he was going to help me work out whatever questions I had as I returned.
Mm-hmm. Now, Anne, while you were writing this book, I'm sure there were periods of weeks or probably months when you were just psychologically and emotionally immersed into the lives of Jesus and Mary and Joseph. How did that affect your prayer life, and how did your prayer life affect your writing?
It greatly intensified my prayer life, greatly. It was during prayer a lot of times that I came up with insights for the book, but just how to move the plot, how to go from one place to another. You know, the hardest thing really was to read, to learn how to see the Gospels as living, dynamic stories, because I knew all the words. Mm-hmm. And when you sit there and you're reading the Gospel of Matthew, and you know, these are words you've heard from the pulpit since you were a child, you tend to skip, to go along rather rapidly. And I think, well, I know that story. Oh, yeah, that parable. Okay. But if you stop and you read this as a narrative, then you begin to see cause and effect. You begin to see the development of events. You begin to see what dramatically led up to the crucifixion of Jesus. Historically, I'm talking. You know, we know he came to do this, and it was for our salvation. We know this. But still, you know, this happened in history. He came at a particular time. He entered time. He was there in this place, and he was there for over 33 years. And I had to see the connective links, but a lot came to me in prayer. I was going to a church in suburban New Orleans where we said the rosary every day at, every Saturday at 4:30 before Mass. Mm-hmm. And we always said the joyful mysteries because it was the church of the Nativity.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be sitting there reflecting on these things, looking at the stained glass windows, saying the rosary, and lots of scenes for the book were coming to me. But what was it like for the Holy Family in Bethlehem? Were they upset that, you know, this child who had been announced by angels was being born in a stable? And I suddenly thought, wow, yes, that's why the shepherds came to them. That's exactly why it happened. God sent those shepherds from the hills to comfort the Holy Family and say, yes, everything is fine. You know, there's nothing going wrong here because you're in a stable.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing going wrong. It's all right. It's proceeding according to plan. Be assured. I never doubted the faith of the Holy Family, but I thought, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
That's maybe why that happened. And, of course, now, when I say that's why that happened, I'm talking about the fiction I'm writing, putting
right.
it together as a narrative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to say doctrinally that that's what happened.
Sure.
But it gave me a way to write about them in a lively narrative with cause and effect that I hope gives people an experience of perhaps it could have been like this.
Yeah.
Because I think when we say we believe in Christ, that we believe he was born the Son of God, the Son of the Virgin, we believe these things. You know, we don't always know how they worked out in time. And if we take the time to imagine a probable way they could have worked out, that does deepen our faith.
Now, you mentioned about, you know, the distinction between the fictional world that you're creating in this book and doctrine. Is that a concern of yours, Anne? Are you concerned that people might read this book like so many have about other books, for instance, The Da Vinci Code, and think that this is actual fact rather than fiction based on fact?
Well, I have two concerns there. The first concern is that I tried very, very hard to get this right,
mm-hmm.
that this is the Jesus of the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't deviate at all from that. This is the Christ in whom I believe. They can trust that when they read this book.
Mm-hmm.
They can trust it. But yes, there are fictional details, of course. I developed the character of Cleopas. He's mentioned in the Gospels, but we don't know who he is. I made him Mary's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a wonderful character for me to talk through. And he came to life with a great spontaneity, the way some characters do. That's fiction, of course. That's pure fiction. We don't know that Mary had a brother. But she probably did. See, I mean, everybody at that time had kin all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they were connected. We do know that from studying family life, from taking a sociological approach to the first century. We know something about the life in the Mediterranean. So, yes, those are fictional details, and I don't want people to think for a moment that I'm trying to add one word to tradition or to the Gospels. I mean, that would be outrageous. But at the same time, this is definitely, uncompromisingly, the Jesus of our faith.
Mm-hmm. Now, you so generously share the story of how you were away from the church for a while and then how you've come back so strongly now. What advice would you give to someone who may wish to return to the church, as you have, but are, for whatever reason, reluctant to do so?
Do it. Don't worry You know, God is infinitely merciful, and he knows things are hard. Don't worry about social issues that are keeping you away. Don't worry about doctrine issues. Don't worry about theological issues. Mm-hmm. Just go back. Go back for the Eucharist. Go back for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Go back to the Lord. Go back to his love, his comfort, his warmth, and let the rest take care of itself. He will help you with those issues. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to be a Catholic. It's never been easy.
Mm-hmm.
In some ways, it's the easiest thing in the world for those of us who were born Catholics, but it's not really easy. We always have social issues, and that's been the history of the Church for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But trust that the Holy Spirit will guide us. The Holy Spirit will guide the Church on everything, and he will guide us individually.
Mm-hmm.
That's my biggest advice. Go for it.
Very well put. And what are you working on now? New book?
Well, I'm working on the continuation of the life of Christ.
Yep.
I think it's going to be about 4 books total.
Wow. And you have a Broadway musical that's going to be happening real soon based on your work?
Yes, a Broadway musical, Lestat, music written by Elton John and Bernie Taupin. And I think it's just wonderful. I think the musical captured the sadness and the tragedy in those books. And I hope those books are a good reflection of a search, an honest search. There's a lot of darkness in them, but it's the darkness of being without God. The books are not without conscience. And the musical really gets the anxiety and the pain, and yet it gets the spectacle and a lot of the excitement of the books.
Well, Anne Rice, thanks so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today on Catholic Forum. And we wish you blessings in the new year and good luck with this continuing project.
Well, thank you very, very much. Take care.
Thank you.
Next week on Catholic Forum, tune in to hear an interview with Bishop Michael Saltarelli. Next weekend will mark the 10th anniversary since Bishop Saltarelli began as Bishop of the Diocese of Wilmington, and the Bishop will be here to talk about his 10 years as leader of the Catholic parishes in the Diocese of Wilmington.